that Peter saw in the life of Jesus, of all of the things that John saw and got to experience in walking with Jesus and being discipled by the rabbi himself, that one singular thing that they will always go back to, and we see it in the preaching of the early church, is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was all about that. Those are the crown jewels of our faith. Let me read to you just a few sections from several sermons in the early church. Acts chapter 2. We read this one this morning. This was a sermon from the Apostle Peter. Listen to what he has to say. This is Acts chapter 2, verse 23 and following. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God. Peter's preaching now. He says, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Verse 29, same chapter. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, listen now, he foresaw and he spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he would not be abandoned to Hades, nor would his flesh see corruption. Listen, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Acts chapter 3, verse 14. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And to this we are all witnesses. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests, the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Listen, greatly annoyed. So what was causing all of Israel's religious leaders to have such terrible heartburn? Listen, he says, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Oh, we can go on and on and on. The core of their message was that Jesus Christ is alive. Of all the things they could preach about, and the stories, can you imagine the stories that they could tell? But that one story that was front and center in all of their proclamation is that Jesus Christ is alive. That's what it was all about. That was the preaching of the early church. And here we are, 2,000 years hence. And as there were those who denied the resurrection back then, so we live in a day and an age today where people continue to deny the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even today, there are those who say, well, no, those are just bogus claims. It's just a myth. It's a fable. It's a legend. It's just for weak-kneed people. That did not happen. It is not true. The gospel writer Matthew tells us that even in his day and age, they were denying the resurrection of Christ. Listen to this storyline. We'll go through this very quickly. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read it verse 11 following. This is now a post-resurrection account, shortly after Jesus rose from the dead. Look at what happened at that time. Matthew 28, 11 says, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city, and they told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, listen, it says, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers, so they're going to buy them off, okay? And they said, tell the people, his disciples came by night, so this was the story, this was the lie. Tell the people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. First of all, if you're a Roman soldier, you do not want to be telling your boss that, okay? That you fell asleep on the job. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. Look at verse 15. So they took the money, they did as they were directed, and look at the last part of verse 14. And this story has been spread amongst the Jews to this day. Think about this with me, if you will. The gospel writer Matthew writes about some 25 to 30 years after this event. That's still early on, though. 30 years after the resurrection, did you catch what was happening in verse 15? They're still lying about it. 30 years afterward, they're still spreading falsehoods about the resurrection of Jesus. Not only were they doing it on the day of, 3 decades afterwards, they're still passing off the lies. And today, dear friends, it is no different. You and I will gather in this place and we will remember the story. We will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many today who continue to snicker at it. And they do not believe the greatest gift that has been given to them. The Apostle Paul, let's spend the rest of our time this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Well, the great resurrection chapter of Scripture. Paul was also going to confront this error. He would write this letter to the ancient church at Corinth, and apparently, there were some even in that, amongst that group of folks who were questioning the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." You see, resurrection from death to these Greeks was a difficult thing to accept. Not only amongst them, but we're not going to do it now, but if you were to read, for example, Acts chapter 17, and when the Apostle Paul was in Athens, and as he was preaching about the death and resurrection of Jesus, there were some who scorned at him. So there were some Greeks who just... there was a very difficult thing for them to accept. Well, the Apostle Paul, we'll see beginning now in verse 14, is going to use negative arguments to demonstrate the truth and the validity that Christ is alive. And he's going to walk the Corinthians through and us through. What are the facts if Christ has not been raised from the dead? And it's a pretty sad story for sure. So verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, if you're there, you will notice that we're going to count 6 absolutely tragic things that would be true if Jesus were still in the grave today. Verse 14. Scripture says this: "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified that God has raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people are most to be pitied." If I count accurately, there were 6 things there that Paul mentions to the ancient Corinthians that would be true if Christ had not been raised from the dead. Number 1, did you notice verse 14? He says to them, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain." That's verse 14. Our preaching, would be absolutely profitless. If Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, you are wasting your time today. I am wasting my time today. You should have just stayed in bed this morning. Our preaching would be absolutely profitless. It would be vain. It would be empty. But we know from 1 Corinthians 15:4 that the very central part of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day. And without that truth, we have no gospel to preach. We should have just stayed home today. We should have just stayed in bed this morning. And every liberal preacher out there who does not believe in the resurrection should just go out and get themselves an honest job if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead. This is at the absolute very core of our preaching and our teaching. It is that the grave is empty. If it were not empty, our preaching would be profitless. Again, verse 14, our faith would be foolish. Not only would our preaching be in vain, but your faith is in vain, the text says. Faith is absolutely no better than its object. Why put faith in a dead Messiah? A dead man cannot save anybody. Our faith in Jesus Christ would be utterly worthless if he was still in the grave. But Paul writes to the ancient church at Rome, Romans chapter 1, verse 4. He says, the Son of God, with power, by the resurrection from the dead. And think with me if you will. Of all of the world's great religions, and those who are lauded in those great world religions, a fellow by the name of Confucius, he's still dead today. A fellow by the name of Buddha, he is still dead today. A fellow by the name of Muhammad, he is still dead today. And the person whose name is Jesus Christ, well, he is alive. He was in the grave, but today he is alive. But if he were not alive, then our faith would be in vain. A teacher asked her students one day to write an essay on the greatest living person that they know of. And this boy writes an essay on Jesus. And the teacher corrects him and says, no, you don't understand. I asked you to write an essay on the greatest living person that you know of. And the little boy responds and he says, but Jesus is living. You see, he's not a dead one from 2,000 years. He is alive today. We do not put our faith in a dead Messiah. He is declared to be the Son of God in power, in the spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. For without his resurrection, our faith would be absolute foolishness. So following along in the Apostle Paul's argument, following along as he's unfolding this to the Corinthians, if Christ had not been raised from the dead, number one, our preaching is profitless. Our faith is foolish. Thirdly, verse 15, the disciples would be deceivers. Verse 15 says, yea, we are found false witnesses of God, or we are misrepresenting God. Notice, Paul does not say that we would be mistaken. No, there's a huge difference between being mistaken and being a false witness. Paul is saying, if Jesus is still in the grave, then we are telling you a lie. Were the disciples liars? If so, why would they lie? Have you ever discovered that people do lie? Oh, we live in a day and age of lies and falsehoods and deceit, don't we? People today will lie for different reasons. They may lie for gain. They may lie for profit. They may lie to stay out of trouble. They may lie for personal protection. They may lie for self-advancement. But why would they lie only in order to be persecuted for what they believe? Why would you want to go through that if you knew it was a lie? For the early disciples of Jesus would die as martyrs. They would be tortured. They would be persecuted. They would be burned at the stake. You see, hypocrites and martyrs are not made of the same stuff. People will tell lies to get out of trouble, not to get into trouble. Few will die for what they already know is a lie. Was Peter a con man? Was the Apostle John a crook? Was the Apostle Paul a perjurer? If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, the disciples would be deceivers. Yet they were willing to die for what they knew was true. So thus far in Paul's storyline to the ancient Corinthians, if Jesus Christ is not alive, our preaching is profitless, our faith is foolish, the disciples are deceivers, and then in verse 17, sin would still be our sovereign today. Verse 17 says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." We would have no hope of forgiveness. We would have no hope of reconciliation to God apart from the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If he were still in the grave today, then God did not accept the sacrifice of Golgotha. How do we know? How do we know that Jesus was not just some religious fanatic, some lunatic with a Messiah complex? How do we know that God accepted the sacrifice of Calvary? Because if there is no resurrection, there is no Savior. If there is no Savior, there's no forgiveness of sin. And if Christ had not been risen from the dead, we would still be in our sins today, separate from a holy God, and sin would be our sovereign. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, ye are still yet in your sins. But what does the empty tomb do? It validates what Jesus did on the cross. And Jesus goes to the cross and he pays for our sin. And the Father, in essence, says, "I accept that payment." And it validates what he did there. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, our preaching would be profitless, our faith would be foolish, disciples are deceivers, sin would be our sovereign. 5, death would still have dominion over us today. Verse 18 says, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished." Probably every single one of us in this holy sanctuary today have had loved ones who have passed away. If Jesus Christ be not raised, then they have perished forever, and it is over. And life is nothing but a cruel joke. And all we can look forward to is this downward spiral to the grave. But that is not the case. Because something as glorious and as wonderful as human life has much more meaning to it than that. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ, we know that our Lord Jesus Christ grappled with the very iron bars of death and is victorious, and death no longer has dominion over us. Christ arose. And then number 6, in the last part of Paul's argument to the Corinthians. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, our future would be fearful. Listen to verse 19. The Bible says, if in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Oh, woe to us if that is what we believe and it is false information. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are just a bunch of poor, deluded fools, most miserable of all people. One man once said, if Jesus Christ is still in that grave, nothing really matters. But if Jesus Christ came out of that grave, nothing but that really matters. Dear friends, I'm here to tell you today because I have been in that tomb. And I want to bear witness to you today that it's empty. He's not there. We have a hope. Friends, we have a hope that is steadfast, and we have a hope that is sure. And because of that empty grave, Jesus Christ took the sting out of sin. He took the dread out of death. He took the gloom out of the grave. And the grave... And he has given to us a hope that is steadfast and that is sure. And because of that, if I can now just reverse Paul's argument to the Corinthians, because of that, our preaching today is profitable. Our faith is feasible. The disciples were dependable. Sin has been subdued. Death has been defeated. And the future for those in Christ, friends, it is actually pretty fabulous. For we know where we're headed. Jesus Christ is alive. That is our declaration. That is our proclamation. That is our sure hope. Our Jesus is alive. Our sins have been forgiven. And all who have found him at that cross and received that gift that he gives to us by grace through faith can know the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus Christ is alive. Death laid its hands on the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And death put him in a rock-hewn tomb. And there was a stone on the mouth of that tomb. And it had the seal of the Roman government on it. But on day three, he was stirred. He would rise from the sleep of death. He would leave behind those grave clothes. Death could not hold him. Death would not be the victor that day. He rose from the grave, and today he is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming back again. Jesus Christ is alive. That is our message. That is the gospel. That is what we preach. This is our faith. Praise the name of the Lord. And as we began this morning, so I will dismiss you with this. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Praise the name of our Lord. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our gracious Lord, on this glorious and beautiful resurrection morn, we give you our praise. We thank you for the empty tomb. It simply could not hold you, and death has been dealt a death blow. Lord, I pray for all who are here this day. Lord, if there's one in our midst who has never named the name of Jesus as their own, oh Lord, I pray that you would move mightily in their hearts today, that they would want to know you as Savior. Lord Jesus, today we'll remember, we will celebrate the great significance of this day, this hour. And Lord, we will give you our praise. we will rejoice. Oh Lord, thank you for our precious Redeemer. We thank you for Golgotha's cross. We thank you for the empty tomb, the preaching of the early church, and the gospel today. For we know that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, draw hearts to yourself this day, I pray. We will give you praise and honor and glory, and we will do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, let me send you home this morning with hymn number 216. And we're going to do the first and the last verses that we find there. 216, and for those of you who are joining us at home, if you would like to sing along with us as you hear the organ and the piano start playing, we are singing the hymn entitled Christ Arose. For those of you who are here with me, it's number 216. Would you please stand with me? Let's sing together. Let's worship. And he's still alive yet today. Praise the name of the Lord. Gracious Lord, dismiss your congregation this day with your blessings. Lord, may we go forth from this holy sanctuary today with thanksgiving and with hope and steadfastness and with overflowing joy and, Lord, with gladness. Oh, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. And we thank you for the Savior who accomplished our salvation full and free. We know that it is sufficient. We know that you are satisfied. And Lord, today we are a people declared innocent in your sight. Lord, go with us today. Go with us this new week with Christ dwelling within us, with the words of God and the hymns of the church upon our lips. May Christ be seen in us. O Lord, direct us this day to the glory of your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Happy Resurrection Day to you. Enjoy your families. You are dismissed.